Good morning again. Good to see each one of you here, and it's quite an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I hate Dave is having such a hard time, but it's good that he's got pastors or preachers in this church that can help him out in his time of need. I have wondered over and over why God has three preachers other than the pastor in this church. It's times like these. Just because the pastor is sick, not able to be here, we shouldn't forget about it. And I'm always glad to preach. I mean, it's in my blood. I'm covered by the blood, so it's in my blood. Heard a couple things this morning, kind of. Not really go along with what I'm going to preach on, but I think we ought to plant the seed continually. And we ought to be happy in the Lord. There's nothing in my Bible that says we're not going to have hard times. And there's nothing in my Bible that says we are immune to sickness and other things. But we don't have to be down in the dumps when something happens. And we shouldn't be. I think about Paul and his song last week. I thought he personally thought he was going to levitate. He was enjoying himself along with everybody else. I'll be in Acts chapter 8 this morning, if you wish to follow along for a few minutes. I have a big mouth when I'm out there. You can ask Alan that. I get him on a regular basis. But when I get up here, I go dumb. In other words, I don't always know what I'm talking about. But the Lord knows what He's talking about. And it's easy sometimes to sit out there, like I said, pick at Alan Hardy. But it's not always easy to come up with what you feel like God wants you to talk about. So I'm going to talk on the subject of counterfeit Christianity. Oh, you got quiet then. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. Simeon is one I'm going to be addressing most. We find him on down in verse 9. Simeon made a profession of faith, or he believed, and he was baptized, but he was lost. He didn't make it. And I can't help but wonder from things that I see and how many people in our churches today have been deceived by Satan into thinking that you are saved and you're not. Now, I trust everybody is. That's my heart's desire, that everybody be saved. But I know, according to God's word, everybody is not saved. Everybody is not saved here this morning. The Bible's very plain that there's wheat and there's tares in our churches. Wheat produces good grain. Tares choke out the good grain. But they're in our churches, and we're not to run them off. We try to get them straightened out with the Lord and help them in any way we can so perhaps someday they can be saved. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we have the very first temptation in the Bible with Eve. And the devil did not try and tempt her to do ungodly things. He tempted her into doing godly things, but you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's not a person here that does not know good and evil. And I hope you don't think you're God. Now, I have God in me. That is the only part of me that is God. The rest of me is going to die and go to the ground. But I do know good and evil, but I may not know it as God knows it. You see, our God hates sin. And when he looks upon sin, he has to judge it. That's his righteousness. And we cannot live in open, all-out sin and expect to get anything from God. But because of false Christianity and false beliefs, there's a lot that do that. There are people that live like the devil during the week, and they come to church acting like they're all holy, and it's just not so. The Bible tells us if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that statement, all unrighteousness. When he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that means every sin in our life is taken away and is covered by the blood. It also means that if you got one little bitty sin in your life that is unconfessed and you're not trying to correct it, you're out of fellowship with the Lord. That sounds harsh, but God is not going to let us slide with any kind of sin in our life. And we ought to have happy days if we're saved. We see people every day that's lost, going to die in their sins and go to hell, but we still ought to have that spirit of happiness in us. Not that they're going to hell, but because we're saved. I'll talk about my two neighbors for just a minute. One of them is a known drug dealer. Big time. He's a thief. He's probably a rapist of old women. And I've been having a hard time with him for 6 years. Stealing stuff, just messing around. Well, he moved out week before last because there's another drug dealer after him for stealing his stuff. Now, that puts me at risk. Well, this guy's going to kill him. I have no doubt about it. I asked the man when they first moved in if he was saved. He said, yep, one time. His life doesn't show it. And he will pay the price if he's not. Then I have another neighbor. I'm not knocking my neighborhood. It's not all bad. I'm out there. All right, Jack. But my other neighbor hadn't been there all that long, a year maybe, a little more. My age, 68. Kind fella. Help you do anything you want. Get done. If you can't handle it, he'll do it. He said his brother would come out and cut some of my trees if I needed it. I tried to talk to him one day, a couple months ago, about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want to hear it. I've heard enough religion. I do not want to hear it. I said, that's fine. I don't have no problem not talking to you. But I want you to know one thing. Jesus loved you and died for your sins. And that's where the conversation ended. Last Sunday, after I got up from my Sunday afternoon nap, I happened to look out my window. He was standing out there in front of his car with his hands handcuffed. When the sheriff's department took him on off, he looked back at my house into the window that I was standing. He said, I wish I'd listened. In his eyes and his face, I wish I would have listened. He was arrested for sexual assault on a 5-year-old girl. He deserves what he gets, right? We all deserve what we get. And we ought to be extremely thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross and shed his blood for us. A lot of people call us a bloody religion. Well, without the blood, we're not going to heaven, that's for sure. There's a lot of lost people in the world, And I want to know, how many seeds have you planted this week? I've been helping Lou Ann out a little bit in her little store up at Holly Hill Mall. And I get to talk to people on a regular basis. And it's amazing how many of them are smarter than I am. Daniel, that wouldn't take much, I know. But when you talk to people about the Lord, they get a little standoffish. They want to back up. But I have a good time up there. She don't get much work out of me, but I get to talk to people anyway. Talked to a young Catholic girl the other week. She don't know where she's at. But she's doing exactly what this first temptation was. She said she was good. And she didn't do anything wrong. She knew the sins, but she didn't do the sins. There's a lot of people in our churches perhaps have the same problem, thinking that they're good enough to get to heaven on their own merits. And that's great if you're that type of person, but the devil has got you deceived if you think you can go any way other than the bloodstained way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And you'll not get there any other way. People are good. I can assure you they're good. And some of them think higher of themselves than they should. I think a lot of myself. Ron, I'm a good looking fella for 86. I think a lot of myself. But I'm going to tell you this. May of 74, God showed me who I was. I was a needy person. Maybe you don't need anybody this morning. Maybe you have embraced a counterfeit Christianity. Don't be dazzled by the satanic forces that are in play in this country, especially today. The devil is slick. He's had over 6,000 years to practice. I haven't been here quite that long. It feels like it sometimes. But he's got a lot of practice in deceiving you and deceiving me. And he does a good job at it. That's going to be one of the messages. I can tell that right now. I'm not going to get this thing done the way I got it planned. So I might as well just stop and let the Lord take over. I heard that amen. Counterfeit Christianity. The most counterfeited thing in the world today is the American $100 bill. Big countries, their governments, are counterfeiting our money. And they're doing it because it's acceptable all over the world. But we as Christians, if we go out here as a counterfeiter, people will know it. People know whether you are real or whether you're not. Most of us, if we're honest, we have a big problem presenting ourselves to the public. Now y'all getting where I like you, real quiet. You know what that means? That means God's on the scene. I don't know why, but God is speaking to somebody right now. And I'm not a prophet. I can't even find my notes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, now keep in mind who we're talking about, Satan. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that don't have to be much plainer than that. If you don't want to believe what the Bible says, and you don't want to believe the bloodstained way, then you're going to believe the other way. You're going to believe a counterfeit thing by Satan. And he is a counterfeiter, I can assure you. in verse 9 of chapter 8 of Acts, it says, there was a certain man called Simeon, which before times in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Sorcery and witchcraft, what he used. The people had nothing else that I'm aware of to guide them. So they believed what he said, and they gave great respect to him. Now, I believe in miracles. I'm a miracle. When God saved me, that was a miracle. A whole lot of sins were covered. But I'm not saved because of miracles. I'm saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We all see miracles in our lives on a regular basis, but you're not saved by miracles. Jesus had a problem in John with all the miracles he was doing. People were coming to him because of the miracles and not because of who he was. And we have to watch that. Simeon here was a sorcerer. We just read verse 10, and to him they had great regard because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. You know what sorceries are? They're tricks. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, when they believed. 13, then Simeon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. We're going to find out just because he believed and was baptized, he didn't make it. He was still in his lost condition. Now, it's up to you to make your call and your election sure. I don't know whether you're lost or saved. Don't want to know. That's between you and God. But I can assure you, you're going to go one place when you die, or you're going to another place. And there won't be any division with God. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Simeon had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. There must have been a great uproar in Samaria. People must have been having a great time shouting and singing and praising God for what was done. So much so that the church at Jerusalem heard about it. I can assure you, there's not a community around this church does not know about this church. And they probably know most people that come here. They know how you are away from church. They know how you are in church. But this church is well known. I was thinking about it this week. 1832 is a long time for this church to be here and to not be full. Now, I don't believe in these big mega churches that some of them have. There ain't no way all of them can get the gospel. There's no way the preacher or pastor can know all of them. Verse 15, who then were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simeon, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. That right there shows he was still in his lost condition. You can't buy God's gift with money. And you have been bought and paid for if you're a Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your soul. But Simeon here pulled out his billfold and unrolled $300 or $400 bills and said, here, Peter, give me that power. I don't have enough power most time to get up in the morning. And I definitely would not want that kind of power. But Simeon, being a sorcerer, wanted that power. He wanted to be able to lay his hands on somebody and they received the Holy Ghost. But it does not work that way. The way it works today is when you repent of your sins, when you're truly sorrowful that you sinned against God, and you repent of your sins and you ask God to come into your heart and save your never dying soul, and He does, you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit right then, and you're on your way to heaven when you die. There's no other way apart from repentance. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. I hope you didn't try and steal it. But God is the one that does it. Not you, not me, not anybody. It's a free gift, folks. And it's amazing how many people will play Simeon. Act like they're doing right. Act like he's saved. Act like he's a good man. It doesn't work. And you can't believe a counterfeit person. You can't believe a counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity basically is acting like you're saved and you're not. You can go out here on the streets and the hedges and highways and bring in a homeless person. Nasty, filthy, smelly. Give him a bath, clean him up, put new clothes on him, and let him hang around with this congregation for 30 days, and he will end up being just like this congregation. He will fit right in. I hope everybody's saved here this morning. That's my heart's desire anyway. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at Peter's response. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thine heart is not right in the sight of God. He believed, he was baptized, but he was still not right with God. Does that not make him a counterfeit? Does that not make him believe a counterfeit Christianity? One verse I like is 9. The first word, but. That's one of my favorite words, but. Reminds me of Billy Goat Christians, Billy Goat Baptist, always butting things. Somebody can come in the church and start doing something good for the church, and the first thing you know, somebody that won't even lift one finger to help out in the church starts bad-mouthing. That's a Billy Goat Christian. You shouldn't do that. If you don't want to work, don't knock those that do. Just keep your trap shut. At least that's the way I was taught. Verse 22-21. And thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps through the thought of thine own heart may be forgiven thee. Now I want you to watch now. 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Then Simon said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Peter didn't even respond to his request to pray for him. If you're a Christian, you ought to be able to pray to God yourself. You shouldn't need some pope or somebody to pray for you. You ought to be able to get on your knees and pray to the Lord for your needs. It don't always give them, but most of the time, he supplies them. Simeon here had a bad problem. He made a profession of faith, and he believed the preaching of Philip, but he didn't get saved. Why? Why did he not get saved if he believed and was baptized? Salvation is not a matter of just believing. It's a matter of following through with what the Lord said. We've got to confess up, folks. Oh, devil's just trying in. We have to confess up our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Well, I ain't got no sin. I don't do anything bad. It's got nothing to do with being good or bad. It's got to do with your heart toward God. I imagine everybody here is good people. I wouldn't be afraid to meet any of you on the street. But good doesn't get you there. Good does not get you in heaven. Jesus was called the good master by the Pharisees, I think it was, or some of that bunch. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." Excuse me. I knew I was going to have a hard time today. I've had a hard time all week. I about knocked Luann out. I was sitting at the... I don't normally tell a bunch of stories, but I'm going to tell this one. I was sitting at the desk over there at her little shop, and I was reading my Bible. I was out of it. I was in another world. I was enjoying myself. She walks up behind me and lays her hand on my shoulder. I about went ballistic. So don't do that to me. I ended up with a terrible headache. My blood pressure shot up. I just had a hard time. I guess I'm bringing back some old injuries that I thought I'd got rid of. Alan, don't you do it. Don't be deceived by false religion. In 13 through 21, we read that. Don't be deceived by superficial faith of a false religion. Superficial, it's on the surface. You find out who you are down in here. You find out who you are when the rubber hits the road. You find out who you are really when hard times come into your life. We find out then how much faith you really have. Sometimes my faith is not very much. And then sometimes when everything's going good, well, I got big faith. Faith is the key to your happiness. Faith is the key to your prosperity. And I don't preach prosperity. I don't believe you're going to be rich just because you sow a seed on TV. And if you want to send that idiot preacher $5,000, you go right ahead. But it'd be much better used right here. But there's all kinds of false teachers out in this world today, false preachers, false Christians, and they're only out for your money. I believe a Christian ought to tithe. That's 10%. And I can go over to my little church, 7 people. They were all elderly, like a lot of y'all. They tithe. During the 7 years I was there, and I'm not bragging on myself, the 7 years I was there, we put a new steeple on the building, put a brand new 5,000 BTU furnace in the building, we put new lights inside the sanctuary, and done many other things, and there was still money in the bank when I retired. Because they were faithful. They didn't believe a false religion. They believe that you ought to do things like God says. And too many times we don't read this book enough to know what it says. That's our biggest problem. If you read this book faithfully, God will, not mine, yours, God will speak to your heart. I guarantee it. And we learn how to live by the Word of God. Not by my words, not by your neighbor's words, but by the Word of God. And I know there's a ball game today. Don't y'all dare leave. I will talk bad about you. I'm just about done. In John 2:23 and 25. And I'm not going to turn there. I am. I told the story. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Talking about Jesus. They believed on his name because they saw the miracles that he was doing. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You can't go by miracles that you've seen or that you've heard about for your salvation. You go by faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get saved in the name of Allah. You're not going to get saved in your neighbor's name. You're not going to get saved in the president's name. You're not even going to get saved in Paul's name. You have to get saved through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that shed his blood for you. He's the one that died for you on Calvary's cross. And we make so much light of this. We don't really understand sometimes God. I remember when Moses come down off the hill. Y'all remember that? And his face was shining. I don't see too many shining faces here today. His face was shining because of the presence of God in his life. And while my face shines very little, most time I look mad. But there ought to be some joy in our eyes. There ought to be some joy in our heart if we're truly born again. If you have believed some counterfeit religious junk and you're here playing with God, you need to get right. You need to repent of your sins. Well, I don't have no sins. The Bible said for all have sinned, come short of glory of God. That's everybody here. If everybody happens to be saved in this church, that means everybody has acknowledged the fact that they're sinners and need to be saved. And they call on the Lord to save their never dying souls. If you don't think you're a sinner or have sin in your life, then you probably ought to get it right. Every day I sin. I do something. Not necessarily a big thing, but little things can tear you down just like big things can. But we need to learn to bend our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, whether you like it or not, and you are, and I am, not a match for Him. What He says, He will do. When He's going to do it, I'm not sure. But He says He's coming back for the church one day. I don't know about you, but when he comes after me, I want to be able to shout and run up and down the streets of gold and heaven and have a good time. I don't want to get up there, what ought I do now? Listen, if you're going to praise God, you ought to do it down here. There comes a time, bless your heart, the preacher, I don't care who he is, ought to get an amen every once in a while. If he's preaching the truth and telling the truth and you hear it, you ought to give him an amen every once in a while. Oh, we're just not like that. Huh? I know you're not. Don't misunderstand me. We all have different beliefs. Some people believe you ought to come in and sit down and be quiet and reverence to the church. I believe that too. But I also believe when God the Holy Ghost gets a hold of my heart, as it did Bob earlier, his favorite song, I ought to let it be known. God has blessed me. I want somebody to know it. Now, I don't expect to have people dancing in the aisles, which if you did, that'd be all right. David danced naked. I'll expect you to raise a ruckus. But if God stirs your heart sometimes, it doesn't hurt you or the church for you to acknowledge it. And to not do it, if God the Holy Spirit prompts you, you're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wasn't going to mention this, but it came up. When we had our singing a couple weeks back, there was a group sitting right back there. They got to having a good time. I heard them shouting, praising God. If I hadn't been sitting between Karen and Luann, I'd started that, but I figured they'd straighten me out. They were having a good time, and some of you were looking around, and I'm like, what's your problem? I know you ain't got it. You have to understand the Holy Spirit deals individually. Every person here that is born again, that has the Holy Spirit down in their heart, God is going to treat you on a God-to-man basis. And He's not going to tell me what He's getting you to do. Huh? I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know if He's called you to do anything. I do know this. God, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, loves to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I hear songs that lift up the name of Jesus, I get a little bit happy. And I want to praise Him too. And if you got God, the Holy Spirit, living in you, you might act like Paul someday. I know God, the Holy Ghost, got a hold of him. I know. Most of y'all do too. You see, there's acting and there's acting. That song last week, I about showed myself. We're going to have a... I better just hush my mouth. While I'm ahead, now I can't even find my bulletin. I know we got a song we're going to sing. You have to get right with God. I can't do it for you. Pastor Dave can't do it for you. None of these other preachers can do it for you. It's an individual, personal, private thing. But if you get right with God, everybody else is going to know about it. I guarantee it. But it's not something to be ashamed of. I've heard people, and I've had it said, I ain't going to walk down that aisle. These people over here laugh at me. Well, if they do, you come on down, and when they get in hell, you can laugh at them. Anybody that laughs at anybody that wants to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ has a heart problem and a head problem. If anything, you ought to get happy when somebody comes down the aisle to the Lord. When I first came to this church, I about ready to leave the second week. God wouldn't let me leave. Why are you going to leave? Because you're cold and dead sometimes. Now, I believe you're all good people. I honestly do. And I've learned to know most of you. I don't know your names, but I know you. And you've been kind to me. You've been kind to everybody else that comes in, as far as I know. But are we really worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ when we're here, or are we going through the motions? I wasn't going to be up here this long, but since there's a ball game on, I thought I'd just drag it out a little bit. We're going to have a call of commitment, a song. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your lives. Neither do I want to. That's God's business. But if you got a need and you want to get right with the Lord, then the altar will be open. I don't need to come to the altar. I can sit back here and pray. Yeah. As I've mentioned before, getting up and moving shows you faith. And God will honor that before He will you just sitting back doing nothing. And I'm not trying to beg you to come to the altar. If you don't want to come up here, by all means, don't do it. But if God's dealing with you, you obey God. All standing.